Some of you are waving, and I'm just waving back. Okay, very good. Some years ago, I was witnessing to a young man at a gas station, and I was able to tell him about the Lord Jesus, and that God loved him, and that God sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to come and be his savior. And I said, really, you know, the Lord came for his own people, and his own people they didn't want him. They said, we've got no king but Caesar. And I said, really, it was their desire to crucify their king. But I said, when he was crucified, the servant king became the savior of the world. And I said, he was raised again on the third day, and he ascended into heaven. And one day, I said, that same Jesus is coming back. And this young man looked at me with all the sincerity he could muster up. And he said, do you think they'll crucify him again when he comes back? I thought that was a very searching question. One in which I could tell that he was at least following the storyline of the gospel. And I said, no, son. I said, the Bible is very, very clear. He came once to be the sacrifice for sin. And the second time he comes back, he won't be dealing with sin anymore. He's going to be dealing with two things. First of all, he's going to come back for his own people and take them to be with him in heaven forever. And then I said, he's coming back to set up his kingdom and to judge the nations. And so that's kind of what's our theme last week. I think it was on the 10th that I was with you last, 10th of October. So I want to go back for a moment and, Roy, if you and I are on the same page, would you be able to put up that little sketch that I have made? Thank you, Roy. This is a very simple timeline, and I'm not going to leave it up very long, but I just want you to notice a couple of things about it, because our theme has been what we call the last days. Now, you'll notice that the cross represents the Lord Jesus dying, okay, and being buried. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He was on earth for 40 days. And then you'll see the arrows going up, up. And the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven. At the same time, the Holy Spirit came from heaven to be our comforter and guide and the great convictor of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. At that time, there was a time period now that we call the church age. And if you notice on this little sketch, this timeline, it says, you are here. Now, I don't know exactly where we are on this timeline, but I put it near the end of the church age. Of course, I don't know when that's going to be. But then you'll notice that the arrows below the timeline coming up, that represents the dead in Christ rising first, and then on top of the line, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air. Now notice who we're going to meet in the air. This is the Lord Jesus coming again. I've suggested before, we believe that his coming again is in two parts. So this is the first part of his coming again. He comes for his bride, the church, and takes them away to be with him in heaven. Then you will notice the 7 years of tribulation period starts. At the end of that tribulation period, we have the Lord Jesus coming to earth. You'll notice a difference. Came in the air for the bride, the church, and now he comes to earth and sets up his earthly kingdom. This will be the day of judgment, the day of the Lord. This will be the separating of the sheep from the goats. Unbelievers during that 7 years of tribulation will be taken away to judgment, and the believers will be left on earth. Yes, some will be saved through that tribulation period of time, and they will remain on earth if they are alive at his coming. There'll be great persecution during that time, but if they are alive at his coming, they will remain on earth, and they will be ushered into the kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. After the 1,000-year reign of Christ, we have the great white throne judgment, and then the new heavens and the new earth, and then eternity. I was going to say begins. I guess we should say continues. Eternity continues. That's a very simplistic view. Now, just before I ask Roy to take it off, I want to just say, keep that in mind. When we talk about the last days, we can refer to the last days before his rapture coming for the saints. And most of the references that we're going to be reading about will actually be signs of his coming at the end of the tribulation period. Now, the one thing you can keep in mind, if we read about signs of his coming at the end of the tribulation, and we see any resemblance of those signs today, I'll just remind you that before that tribulation even starts, the church is gone. And so what that means is we may be nearer than we have ever been before. So just keep that in mind. One coming, two parts for the saints, and then the day of the Lord and set up his kingdom. Okay, Roy, thank you. Now I'd like to see your faces again. That's great. So what I want to spend just a few minutes on today in this little study again is what characterizes the last days and what's my responsibility in the last days. So let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And let me read I'm going to skip down here. Verse three, just for time. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, day of the Lord. Now, remember that this is reference now to the second part of his coming, the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, the day he separates the sheep from the goats. This is not the rapture, the day of the Lord. Now, what, just a couple of points. What is one thing that's going to happen during those last days? Scoffers are coming. Boasters are coming. The critics are coming. You know what they say? Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Now, dear friend, if these things are signs, and we're at least 7 years before these things are going to happen, what characterizes the day and age in which we live? Isn't it scoffers? Isn't it doubters? Aren't there critics? I mean, aren't there so many just saying, are you joking? We have heard these stories forever. These things are not true. He's never going to come. And the scriptures here say they willingly forget. There are a lot of young people and middle-aged people today who were raised up under the gospel of Jesus Christ who are falling away. And they're scoffing at the word of God. They're not believing its final authority anymore. They're saying all those promises were just legends. They meant nothing. None of that is going to ever happen. And they willingly forget. Now, go with me to 2 Timothy quickly, please. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're thinking about the characteristics of the last days. The scoffers are coming. The critics are coming. They're going to deny the word of God. The only reason the Lord hadn't come is because he's long-suffering and he doesn't want anybody to perish. Keep that in mind. But 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, remember when the last days started? When he went back to heaven, remember that? We're 2,000 years down the road since then, but we're still in the last days, maybe the last days of the last days, okay? Perilous times will come. Now, what characterizes these days? Watch your Bibles. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. Oh my goodness. You can't describe society any more accurate than this. Slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Notice this, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Let me just pause there. A form of godliness, but denying its power. What is the power of God? It's the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Oh, they pretend to be religious. They pretend to be spiritual. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. Notice our responsibility, please. From such, turn away. Now, that doesn't sound very Christian, does it? I thought we were supposed to reach out. I thought we were supposed to save or try to lead people to the Lord, save them from a lost eternity. And we are, dear friend. But listen, as a believer, you cannot buy into the world's system. Evil communication corrupts good morals, the Bible says. Come out from among them and be separate. It doesn't mean we don't pray for them. Doesn't mean that we don't try to lead them to the Lord. But it does mean that we have to be very, very careful to avoid the very things on this list that we have just read in these last days. Difficult times, dangerous times. Avoid them, turn away from these people in the sense that we don't buy into their mindset or their lifestyle or this society in which we live. Does not the Apostle Paul tell us not to be conformed to this world? I think that goes hand in hand right here. Now, let's just go down to the end of chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now watch your Bible. I charge you therefore, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. And we might say, well, what's the big deal? Look at the next verse. For the time will come. Dear friend, I'm no prophet. I'd be stoned immediately if I try to make a prophecy here. But I'm suggesting when we read a time will come, that's 2,000 years ago. Let me suggest the time is here. It is here. That they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned unto fables. What is the mandate? Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Baptize those that believe and teach them. That's the mandate. That's the commission. That started 2,000 years ago. Well, in the last days, what are we to do? Continue. We just continue. That's what we do. All this stuff going on around us, all these characteristics of the society that has basically turned itself away from God, a selfish a society of people who love pleasure more than they love God, who's in it for themselves, who is sensual and sexual and evil, and you name it. You can't make it up. It's just unbelievable, the society in which we live. So you say, what in the world are believers doing in the last days? Well, if you're walking with the Lord, I tell you what you're doing. Are you listening? You're preaching the word. You say, oh, I'm not a preacher. That lets me off. No, it doesn't let you off at all. The word preach means proclaim, tell, share. You do that around the kitchen table with your next door neighbor. Yeah, you do that in the garden as you're talking to your gardener. You do that at work, at school, wherever you are. Listen, the last days are upon us. Basically, society and any kind of spiritual, quote, religious organization have turned their ears away from the truth. No wonder they're going to believe the big lie. They're already started believing it. I mean, we don't have to wait till the tribulation period starts and the man of sin is revealed and the Holy Spirit is taken away with the bride before they'll believe the lie. They're believing the lie now. It's going to be a piece of cake when the Holy Spirit is gone. They're already primed for this. I sat at a kitchen table this week, just a few days ago, with some people that I dearly love who don't know the Lord Jesus. And as I sat there and listened to their conversation, I thought, it's impossible. These people would never get saved. How could they ever? Their whole mindset, and these are good people, but their mindset is completely worldly. It has no clue of what Jesus Christ could do, change their attitude, change their heart, change their mind. I'm sitting there and I'm going, what could I possibly do? And the Spirit of God said, preach the word. preach the word. That is their only hope. And I say, well, Lord, they're natural people. They can't get it. Preach the word. Preach the word. That's not my responsibility to make them get it. The Spirit of God convinces of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. And so I have great hope. I have great hope. But what is our responsibility? Let's just keep reading in verse 4. They will turn their ears away from the truth, be turned to fables. But you, Timothy, and by application, us as Christians, you be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You say, well, he's writing to Timothy. What's that got to do with me? It's got everything to do with us. We're not all Timothys. I understand that. But if you're here and you know the Lord, you have a spiritual gift. You have a, God has a plan for your life. And what we need to do is not try, stop trying to invent something that will work in the last days, but just take the scriptures to heart. What is it? The word of God. That's what it is. The word of God is like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. The word of God is like a sword, sharp and powerful, cutting into the thoughts and intents of a person's heart. Where does faith come from? By taking heed to thy word. The word of God, when preached to us, can produce faith in our life, faith in the word of God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the word. The word is being belittled. It is being denied. And by many Christians, they don't even read it. They don't even read it. Listen, if you wanted to take a summer school a course on calculus, and you said, I don't think I'll even read the textbook, good luck. Okay. I can't even spell it, much less take a course on it, you know. But what's my point? How are you going to know how to live in the last days if you don't read the book? This is what I'm trying to encourage you, okay? Finally and quickly, let's go to the book of Jude. Jude. We're thinking about what characterizes the last days, and then we're thinking about what to do in the last days. Jude deals with the last days. He's dealing with a time when he and Peter must have got together as he wrote these two books, First and Second Peter and Jude. There's so many similarities, okay? So Jude talks about the ungodly people doing ungodly things in an ungodly way. They're all ungodly sinners. Look at verse 16. He identifies these people. These are grumblers. You know any of those guys? Complainers, walking according to their own lust. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. We hear that every day. Believe me, it's on every hand. But now notice the contrast. But you, beloved. Okay, now here's how to not just survive the last days, but here is how to conduct yourself in the last days. Beloved, remember the words that were spoken of the by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 18, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time. Oh yes, I remember that. You know, the Lord Jesus told his disciples so many times what was going to happen to him. It was unbelievable. They didn't get it. I mean, we got it because we're reading the whole story, right? We say to them, why didn't you believe it? Well, listen, folks, the word of God is telling us mockers are coming, scoffers are coming, critics are coming. They're not, they're going to belittle God. They're going to ignore God. They're going to, God is not even going to be into their thought process or into their world. But for us, we need to remember the word of God. And that he said, they're coming, they're coming. Notice who they are, 19. They're sensual persons causing divisions. Know anybody like that? But here's one thing. They don't have the Spirit. See that? Verse 19. These are not believers. They don't have the Spirit. Verse 20. Beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying. This is what we do in the last days. We do it in the first days. We do it in the middle days. We do it in the last days. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 23 or 22. On some have compassion. 23, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Look at this. We not only are to remember, we're not only to keep ourselves pure in the love of God, but we're to reach out. They're doubters. They're people that have turned away. Who's going to help them? Who's going to go with the mandate, the Great Commission? Who's going to pray their way through all of the obstacles and barricades that the enemy puts up and says, oh, there's no use. It's the end days. Go crawl in a hole, barricade yourself. Jesus is coming. That is not what he wants us to do. He wants us to remember the word, reach out to these people and rejoice. Look at verse 24. Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. What's the point? What are you doing in the last days? I think we've identified, at least it would appear, that many of the things that characterize the last days are standing on your doorstep. They're going to your schools. They're going to your churches. They are in our communities. You can't ignore it. It is here. What do we do? Remember what God said. Preach the word. Begin, continue, and end with preaching the word. We've got the warning. Keep myself, build myself up in my most holy faith. Keep reading, keep studying, keep attending, keep fellowshipping, keep encouraging one another. And what do? Reach out at the same time. Why? Because one day I'm going to step into his presence and all is going to be well. And if there ever was a time that you and I need to look forward to, it is the day, are you listening, that we see him face to face. Wow. Let me tell you, if you keep on doing these things, you won't be ashamed that he's coming. If you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you don't attend meetings, you don't, and then he comes, you're going to go, is that you, Lord? You're going to be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. So anyhow, that's my little cheerleader rah-rah for this week. Keep on keeping on. Let's pray. Lord, job is too big. The world is too big. The sin is too big. We can't do it. Thank you for reminding your disciples and reminding us that when we go into the world and we do these things that you've required of us, that we're not by ourselves. For the Lord Jesus said to his own, I am with you, says the Lord. So Father, send us out into this evil world that we might proclaim the greatest message that mankind has ever heard, the love and the grace of God, even in the last days. Amen.